you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo. I'm a writer and entrepreneur in California. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Rob. So good to be with you this morning.
I have a good question here, and it's, I think lots of people will be able to relate to it because we've been hearing a lot about the idea of negotiating on a kind of a national level. Donald Trump, as you know, penned a famous book called The Art of the Deal, and it has been discussed a lot frequently because of the context of the negotiations with Congress to get border wall funding. So some have said that there are failures built into this that show that Donald Trump isn't such a great negotiator after all. So as an outside observer, Ray, would you agree with that? I mean, just based on what you've seen?
Well, I think, negotiations are really a tough subject. And it depends again what we're negotiating on, and how important it is to a particular individual. If, for example, you're negotiating with your spouse about where you're going to go to eat, and you don't care, then it's not a very difficult task. But if where you go to eat is extremely important, and depending upon the setting, and depending upon the cost, depending upon the kind of cuisine, it can be kind of heated and debated. It's not something as simple. So, when we talk about negotiating, we don't necessarily, put it all in one bucket. I mean, it all depends again upon, the motivation of the individuals. So in the case of President Trump and negotiating with regard to whether we do a government shutdown or whether they fund his border wall is a matter of principle. And so, if the one side says, we don't want him to have that little feather in his cap that says that he got that border wall built, then they're going to resist. And they're willing to throw, the baby into the fire, to prove their point. And then, of course, President Trump, on the other hand, is going to stand rigid and say, hey, you want to put all these people out of work? You guys go right ahead, so it depends upon what each side feels they have to lose. So,
Ray, isn't it like the idea of the stakes are different? And I love this idea of talking about Congress and the president negotiating over the wall, because metaphorically you could really place this on top of other issues, whether it's business or personal, like you said, even just going to deciding with your wife who's going to, what place you're going to go eat. But the idea of stakes, and what struck me there, what you were just saying, is that in the context of this negotiation, you may find one side, the stakes aren't the wall for both sides. The stake is for Congress appears to be whether or not Donald Trump gets a quote unquote victory and gets what he wants. So if they're trying to avoid that, if they're trying to avoid Donald Trump getting a quote unquote victory here, then that's different than Donald Trump's intent. His goal, the stakes for him, is he wants to get the border wall done.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of victory again. I mean, he's promised his constituents that he would build a wall during his administration. So it's a victory for him. And it's a victory for the other side if they can prevent him from doing it, because they're showing their power. Let's see who's really got the power. And so it's all about fighting. I mean, a negotiation is somewhat of a fight. If there's no contest, then there's no fight. And so if there's a point to be made, then, all hands on deck, they're going to try to make their point. And let's be you know, factual about this. The Congress does not love the president at all. At least the current Congress does not love the president. Mm-hmm. And the president really doesn't care for them either. I mean, he wants to drain the swamp. I mean, you know, calling them, you know, swamp monsters, mm-hmm. you know, is not going to sit well with them. And so, you know, when you go into negotiation, if both sides hate each other, negotiations aren't going to go very well. And so the first thing that we have to think about in when we're negotiating is what kind of, you know, where do we stand with regard to the individuals we're negotiating with, you know, whether it be a teacher strike or whether it be a particular direction we want to head the company. If there's a team effort, in other words, if we're trying to negotiate the best outcome, and the team basically like each other, then negotiations go relatively smooth. There's mm-hmm. compromises that will have to be made, but it'll be a rather smooth transition. Whereas if there's animosity and if there's hard feelings, you know, negotiating is not going to go well, period. So the best way, if there is animosity, if there is hard feelings between two parties or multiple parties, then what we have to do is figure out what kind of compromise can be made where both parties walk away smiling. In other words, there's give and take. I think we saw a little bit of this recently when the bill was put before the president to sign that the Congress passed and the Senate, Congress and the Senate passed, mm-hmm. You know, for opening up the overcoming the government shutdown. And then they gave him $1.4 billion for the wall. So they didn't give him much for the wall, but they avoided a government shutdown, another government shutdown. So that was a compromise. So, you know, if you remember, the Democrats or the Nancy Pelosi said, we're not even going to give him a dollar. Well, they gave him more than a dollar, they gave him $1.4 billion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he got something. He just didn't get what he wanted. So they declared the victory. The Congress says, okay, we were victorious because he didn't get what he wanted. He didn't get his $5 billion for his wall. And we also avoided a government shutdown. And Trump says, well, you know, they gave me more than a dollar. And, you know, and so he declared victory and avoided a government shutdown. So that's kind of the way, compromises are done. I mean, both parties, you know, take a victory lap and smile. They may not get exactly what they want, but in any negotiation, I don't know if anybody gets exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. Whether you're buying a car or whether you're buying a home or, you know, you're sitting down negotiating the price and both sides are trying to get the best deal for them. So, you know, you're never going to get everything you want. When you go into negotiation, the first thing you must ask yourself is, where do I draw the line? In other words, how far am I willing to go? And we all do that. We all say, I'm not going to pay any more than this, or I'm not going to accept any more than that. And so they've already set their bottom line, and then they try to work towards something where both of them end up, you know, not having to cross their bottom line. And that's the key to negotiating. You go in with the idea of a resolution. If you're going into a negotiation and said, you know, we don't want a resolution, then just walk away. Just, you know, don't even go any further. So, you know, if a resolution is being sought, a true resolution is being sought, and your bottom line, you've accepted, you know, an instance here of President Trump, you know, he said, well, I'm going to get more than a dollar. I mean, that's kind of what he told himself. If I can't get more than a dollar, we're going to shut the government down. The other side says, well, as long as we don't fund anything anybody could say was an appreciable amount of what Donald Trump is asking for, then we can take a victory lap because we avoided a government shutdown. And at least he didn't get hit all of his money to do what he wants. And they changed the name from wall to fence and mm-hmm. some other ridiculous things. And that's how stupid negotiations actually get sometimes. They actually get that way, where, you know, people act stupid and silly. But that's unfortunately the way compromise works sometimes, is that you make silly compromises.
And I guess from what I'm hearing you say, and then the example of Congress and the president, is that it was important. It was more important to break the logjam or the impasse that they were facing than to get the perfect deal on either side.
Well, they're avoiding a government shutdown. That's what they're avoiding. And so that they said, okay, what can we do to avoid a government shutdown? Well, we got to give Donald Trump more than a dollar. And Donald Trump says, well, I got to get enough to say that I can at least build something of a wall, 58 miles. And so that's what they did. And then in the back of his pocket, you know, he's been saying this for some time, that he's just going to invoke a presidential decision mm-hmm. and declare an emergency. And so he always had that in the back of his pocket, and he knew he wasn't going to get $5+ billion because the other side would have lost. In other words, they would not have been able to take a victory lap. So he's been gearing up to do this emergency declaration. So that's kind of what's happened. And that's what we do in negotiating. We make compromises and move forward.
As always, you can reach out to Ray Zinn with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. Continue your education and this conversation with all the podcasts, Ray's blogs, links to the information about the book, Tough Things First, and Ray's new book, The Zen of Zinn, a collection of writings on interrelated topics of entrepreneurship, leadership, management, discipline, determination, society, people, and life. That's the Zen of Zinn. Thanks again, Ray.
Hey, thanks, Rob. It's always fun to talk with you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.